and to sung praises of our God, holy, holy, holy. We looked at another text of praise to our God, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, reading verses 11 to 14. Revelation given to the Apostle John. Here in particular, the praise which is given by all creatures to the one upon the throne, the Father, and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. First, the Holy Spirit is indwelling the creatures who worship our God. Hear these words, Revelation chapter 5, 11 and following, the word of our Lord. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Amen. Our text for instruction comes from the Belgian Confession, back of your Trinity Psalter Hymnal. The back of the Belgian Confession on page 857. The Belgian Confession on page 857. Article 8 just articulated the doctrine of the Trinity, which we read in longer formats in the Athanasian Creed. Article 9 that we looked at this evening, the scriptural witness on the Trinity. Why do we believe this? All these things we know from the testimonies of Holy Scripture, as well as from the effects of the persons, especially those we feel within ourselves. The testimonies of the Holy Scriptures, which teach us to believe in this Holy Trinity, are written in many places of the Old Testament, which cannot be enumerated, but only chosen with discretion. In the book of Genesis, God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. Indeed, male and female, he created them. Behold, man has become like one of us. It appears from this that there is a plurality of persons within the deity when he says, "Let us make man in our image." And afterwards, he indicates the unity when he says, "God created." It is true that he does not say here how many persons there are, but what is somewhat obscure to us in the Old Testament is very clear in the New. For when our Lord was baptized in the Jordan, the voice of the Lord was heard, saying, "This is my dear Son." The Son was seen in the water, and the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove. And so, in the baptism of all believers, this form was prescribed by Christ. Baptize all people in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel according to Luke, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, the mother of our Lord, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, that Holy One to be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And in another place it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." There are three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. In all these passages, we are fully taught that there are three persons in the one and only divine essence. And although this doctrine surpasses human understanding, we nevertheless believe it now, through the Word, waiting to know and enjoy fully in heaven. Furthermore, we must know the particular works and activities of these three persons in relation to us. The Father is called our Creator by reason of his power. The Son is our Savior and Redeemer by his blood. The Holy Spirit is our Sanctifier by his living in our hearts. This doctrine of the Holy Trinity has always been maintained in the true Church from the time of the Apostles until the present, against Jews, Muslims, and certain false Christians, heretics such as Marcion, Mani, Praxeas, Savilius, Paul of Samosata, Arius, and others like him, who were rightly condemned by the Holy Fathers. And so, in this matter, we willingly accept the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian, as well as what the ancient fathers decided in agreement with them. Brothers and sisters, when would have been the first time that you heard the name of God? Particularly the name of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When would have been the first time? Older ones that might go back a long time, children, it might be kind of hard for you to remember. So I dare say the first time you heard the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you weren't even conscious of it. Is that your baptism? The minister baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You heard, and the name of God was pronounced over you. In fact, the name of God was placed upon you as a covenant sign. God called you Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He called you to be His child. It's amazing, our baptism. Baptism is so essential to the doctrine of the Trinity. Because on the one hand, the baptism creed of being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it teaches us what to believe about the doctrine of the Trinity. But at the same time, our baptism is a call to live the redemption of the Trinity. So we're taught what to believe, and then we're called to believe and live out the doctrine of the Trinity, the redemption of the Trinity. So this afternoon, I'd like us to go through the Belgic Confession to understand the scriptural witness to the Trinity. Why do we believe? Where does this come from, scriptures? In fact, it's interesting, in the opening paragraph of Article 9, it gives two areas of proof, one which is objective, the other one which is more subjective. The objective one is the scriptures. Read the first sentence, all these things we know from the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. That's the objective truth. Scripture is what it teaches to us, what has been given to us to believe. This is what we confess. But then there's also a subjective, even an experiential element to the doctrine of the Trinity. Again, the first paragraph, the second part of that sentence. As well as the effects of the persons, the three persons of the Trinity, especially those we feel or perceive within ourselves. We feel the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so on the basis of what Scripture teaches and what we experience in our personal lives, we confess, believe, and live the doctrine of the Trinity, even the redemption of the Trinity. So I'd like us to take a look at these two elements. First of all, looking at the testimonies of Holy Scripture as it's given in the Belgic Confession, and then its effects, the effects of the three persons that we feel, perceive, and experience in our lives. Before looking at the text, you should note also the heretics which are condemned at the end of the Article 9. Some of the names we don't really recognize unless you like reading 3rd, 4th, 5th century church history. But you will recognize the name of Jews and Muslims and certain false Christians. Not sure to what extent you have interaction with Jews or Muslims or false Christians such as Jehovah's Witnesses. You probably have some interaction with them. You need to have the answers to explain to them why we believe the doctrine of the Trinity as it comes from Scripture. More likely, you meet with people who have no interest in God, or no understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity, or confusion about it, thinking the Trinity is the Father, Mary, and Jesus. Is that how we know? Muslims believe that. They believe that's what Christians teach. What's so helpful about the Belgic Confession, as we have it here, is a teaching tool for ourselves, teaching us what we need to believe. So we teach it in the churches. We teach it to our covenant children. But the Belgic Confession is more than a teaching tool, it's a testimony. It was a testimony of the days of the Reformation to say to the Roman Catholic Church, this is what we believe. And it's a testimony in our own days as we evangelize, as we share our faith. So I encourage you to be bold the next time a Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, if you still have that out here. Say, hey, come on in, take a seat, get your drink. I just need to get my Belgic Confession. Because it's a testimony of Scriptures laid out for you so you can answer their questions, but more importantly, you can present the Gospel of the Trinity. You can do the same with Jehovah's Muslims. or anyone else who has questions about what can we believe about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's look at the testimony of Scriptures. It's kind of walking through the belt of confession. We know all these from the testimonies of Holy Scriptures, it says, and we begin right at the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis, the creation story. Genesis story where God created us in His own image. Second paragraph there, third paragraph. In the book of Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image. He's talking in the plural. There's a question there, whom is God talking to? Is he talking like the Queen of England or now the King of England in the royal we? We need to represent the people of His kingdom. But God never speaks in that way. There's no royal we in the Scriptures. Some will say that God is referring to the angels. He's referring to the angels and let us make man in our image. But angels do not create. And we are not made in the image of angels. Not at all. So as it says in our text, there is a reference here to a plurality in the Godhead without giving the full definition. Wonderful for us to know that we are made in the image of God. And not just one person individually, but we collectively. That in the Godhead, there is a relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. There's a social relationship. Augustine redefined it as love. The Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father by the communion of the Spirit. So we are created not as individuals, but as social beings. Genesis chapter 1 refers to the fact that we are created male and female in His image. There's a need for us to be in relationship because we are created by God to be like God, to love one another as individuals and community. Creation story, Genesis chapter 1, brief reference to the text in Isaiah, where also, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The Lord says to Isaiah, Isaiah 6 verse 8, and again, the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit, sending forth Isaiah in relationship to the sermon from this morning, the call to the gospel ministry, the call by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to go be their witnesses in the world. But as our confession states, what is more obscure in the Old Testament becomes clearer in the New Testament. And it becomes particularly clear in two particular types of texts, baptism and blessings. Baptism, first of all, we refer to Jesus' baptism. But Jesus, when He was baptized, and even children, you remember the story of Jesus' baptism, baptized by John the Baptist. You see Jesus who was in the water. The dove descends, symbol of the Holy Spirit. Christ receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then the voice from heaven. This is my Son, the voice of the Father. The three of them are distinct in the ministry of redemption of Jesus Christ. More particularly, we have our own baptism. It's like in the last paragraph on page 857. And so in the baptism of all believers, this form was prescribed by Christ. Baptize all people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice the grammatical error? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If I were to enroll my sons into swimming lessons, three of my sons, whose names are Davin, Ezra, and Taylor, just for information. And if I say to the person at the desk at the swimming pool, say, please write in the name of Davin, Ezra, and Kaylin, you would be right to correct me. Say, no, please write in the names of Davin, Ezra, and Kaylin. Jesus instructs us to baptize in the name, singular, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But He names three. Should Jesus have said, baptize them in the names? Is there an error in the Bible? No, there's no error in the Bible. The baptism text is an allusion to the Trinity, that there is one name, because there is one God. And yet we name three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our baptism is the clearest instruction about the doctrine of the Trinity. One name, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're speaking to Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got to insist on this. Because they're going to take you to other texts right away. They know this is against their teachings. And as we say in Quebecois, lâche pas le morceau, don't let go of it. Don't let go of this text. Insist that they examine this text There is one name, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Confession goes on also about Jesus' birth. Just pass over that in terms of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, important to our redemption. But there's also the very important blessing, page 857, first full paragraph. In another place, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. This is the blessing text. And be reminded again, what is a blessing? When we give a blessing at the end of the worship service, it's a reminder of your baptism. In baptism, the Lord puts His name upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you go back to Numbers chapter 6, when the instruction is given about the Aaronic blessing, Aaron, when he has to give the blessing, Moses instructs him and says, this is how you shall put the name of the Lord on the people. And so when we receive the blessing at the end of the worship service, there is a reminder of our baptism, a reminder that God is putting His name upon His people. He's claiming you as His covenant people. What's so beautiful in this text, the blessing of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, is there is a reference again to the three persons. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The three persons are named, Father, Son, Father, and Spirit. But there's also a distinction in their particular redemptive work. The grace that comes from Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, new life. The love of the Father who, because He loved us, has chosen us, elected, predestined us, and given us His Son. And in that fellowship, the communion of the Spirit who through that fellowship, that communion, puts us in union with Christ, relationship with Christ, but also in communion with the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. One divine blessing, because the blessing only comes from God, but coming from the three persons of the Trinity. The Belgian Confession, the second full paragraph on page 858, gives a reference to a text found in 1 John 5, verse 7 in the King James Version. These are the three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. You simply need to know that this is not found in all the Bible translations, such as the ESV. There's a question about manuscripts. In the oldest manuscripts that we have, that we understand, this verse was not there. In the majority manuscript of the King James Version follows, or the New King James, they do include it. No concern. This was a text probably added in the 2nd, maybe 3rd century. And it is a testimony of the early church that they believed in the early centuries that God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. So the Jehovah Witness kind of disputes this text. That's fine. We can go on to the other ones. I'd like to add a text which is not here in the Belgian Confession, the text we read in Revelation chapter 5, particularly in terms of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5 is this vision of the worship in the holy sanctuary of God before the throne of God, the one who is on the throne, and the Lamb. And I asked Jehovah's Witnesses, and I said there are two questions that are important here. Who are the worshipers? And who is worshipped? And who are the worshipers? Verse 13. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all that are around them are around the throne. All creatures. Of any type and sort, the creatures are around to worship. Jehovah Witnesses and Muslims believe that Jesus is simply a creature. If He is simply a creature, He should be in the crowd around the throne. But He's not. The second question is, who is worshipped? Verse 14, 13, second part. Blessing and honor and glory be to Him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The Father and the Lamb are both worshipped equally, without distinction. If you're familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses, they make a distinction between worship and honor. We worship God the Father, one true God. We can honor Jesus Christ. My dictionary says worship and honoring are just about the same thing. This text proves very clearly that the Father and the Son, the Lamb, are worshipped exactly the same way, without distinction. Christ is worshipped, even as the Father is worshipped. And so from all these texts, and even others, we can add it, that these fully teach us that there are three persons, but one divine essence, one God. go on to the second type of proof, not just the objective, scriptural, but the subjective, what we experience, what we live, what we feel and perceive in our lives, as the confession says in the beginning. And here again, we see the importance of our baptism and also the blessings that we receive, the two ways which God puts his name upon us. The image that I have in my mind when the Lord putting his name upon us is the old cowboy movies that we used to watch when we branded cows. Look painful, but this is the way they mark cows, hot iron, and brand the cow, and that meant that cow belonged to that ranger, that cowboy. To a certain extent, our baptism is God branding us. He's putting his name on us. We belong to his covenant people. And you can be a wild cow and run away. Or you can be a cow that comes back and is thankful to have a good Lord and Father who cares for us. God has put his name upon us in both our baptism and in our blessings. And so we should see, therefore, a second proof of the Trinity, not an objective proof found in the Scriptures, but rather that subjective, personal, experiential proof of the work of the Trinity in our lives. That the believer, child of God, knows deep down and experiences the redemptive work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in his life. Confession uses the word of feeling it. Another translation refers to perceiving it. There's a sense that we understand what God is doing in our lives, even as we grow in the faith. And so it raises a question for each of us here. Do you perceive the work of the Trinity in your life? Do you feel in your personal life the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit saving you, sanctifying you, giving you that assurance and comfort that you are a child of God in life and in death? Jesus refers to eternal life in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they would know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And in the Scriptures, when they use the word know, it's not just simply knowing with our head. It's knowing in the experiential sense. Knowing personally, relationally. That we must know the Father and the Son by the Spirit in our lives. Coming back to the Belgian Confession, then, on page 858, halfway down. Furthermore, we must note the particular works and activities of these three persons in relation to us. The Father is called our Creator by reason of his power. The Son is our Savior and Redeemer by his blood. And the Holy Spirit is our Sanctifier by his living in our hearts. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each have a role in our redemption. They work together. This is the Trinity team that saves us. One of my sons, Theodore, had four concussions. Four concussions, you're in pretty bad shape. He was in the hospital for several weeks. Part of his healing process involved the work of a team which involved a chief medical doctor, a psychiatrist, physiotherapist, a nutritionist, and a social worker. Five professionals working to restore and grant new health to our son. We have a team of three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are working to bring us new health, resurrected health, new life, and our redemption in Jesus Christ. The Father is the Creator. He has given you life, brought you into this world, protects and provides for your life. But the Father is also the architect, the planner of your redemption and predestination. He's also the Father who, in love, has chosen you in adoption and election. He is the Father who has sent his Son and has given the Spirit through his Son to his people. God the Son is our Savior and our Redeemer. It is he who came into this world and gave his life through the blood sacrifice of atonement, expiation, propitiation. He accomplished the fullness of our redemption at the cross, so that in Christ Jesus we are both justified and sanctified. His resurrection gives us new life, even new birth, in the promise of eternal life. And Christ is now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for our redemption, our full redemption. In fact, it is also the Son who pours out the Spirit upon the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who lives in our hearts and dwells us. He puts us in communion and union with the benefits of Christ Jesus. He's particularly there to sanctify us, to make us more holy, to make us more Christ-like. In fact, the Holy Spirit brings us back to God's initial purpose when He made us in His image. The image has been destroyed or ruined by sin. But by the gift of the Spirit, we are built again, we are made again in the image of God. This work of redemption is accomplished by the triune team, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we especially feel in ourselves. You feel it, brothers and sisters? The work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your lives? Can you perceive how they are drawing you in and shaping you as a child of God in the image of God? Do you see it particularly in your prayers? In the prayers that you speak to the Father and you know God as a Father who loves you and cares for you. That you conclude your prayer by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, and it's not just simply a phrase that we add at the end of our prayer, but you know that you have full and free access to the throne of God because Christ is your mediator, your Savior. That you also know the work of the Spirit. The Spirit who draws you to want to pray. Not just the regular prayers that we do, yes, but that need to pray. The passion to pray. And to come to God and say, Abba, Father. Brothers and sisters, do you feel it personally, but also do you feel it, perceive it communally, together as a congregation? It's just not me and myself with God, it's us with God. We've come here as a congregation, as a body of believers, in relationship to one another, even as the Father loves the Son loves the Father, so we love one another. That we gather together, encourage one another by our presence, encourage one another by our singing together, worshiping the triune God, by listening to instruction, teaching and encouraging one another, receiving together the blessings, being witnesses of baptism, communing together at the Lord's Supper table, receiving the full blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. We experience that together. Christ has said, as you may recall in John 13, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you live like the triune God, Father who loves the Son, and the Son who loves the Father. Or again, in the Epistle of John, 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Or to say it differently, the unseen God becomes seen, visible, when we love one another. And so when we testify, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Muslims, people who just don't believe in God and don't care, and we bring to them the scriptures, the scriptural teaching about the triune God, we also want them to bring them into the fellowship of believers. Say, look at how they love one another. We experience, we feel, we know personally that we are saved by the Father through the blood of the Son, in the communion of the Spirit. Powerful, powerful testimony. And all this begins with our baptism, brothers and sisters. So good to be baptized as a child of God, and particularly covenant baptism as we celebrate it with our children. To be reminded again at each baptism that here is the clearest teaching of the doctrine of the Trinity. One name, one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son and the Spirit work together for our salvation. May God give us the grace to live and experience it each and every day anew. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Abba Father, how precious it is to know that the God Almighty, sovereign and eternal, creator of the heavens and the earth, is also our Father. We give you praise, Almighty God, our Father, because you have loved us and given us life. We give you praise and thanks because you have loved us and adopted us into your family as your children. That we have the privilege of coming to you, knowing that you, our Father, listen to us and care for us better than any earthly father. And we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. And we give you praise, Jesus Christ, that you left the glories of heaven to live upon this earth, to take upon yourself our human nature, body and soul, that even to bear in your own flesh our sins upon the cross. We give you thanks that through your blood sacrifice we are forgiven all our sins and declared righteous in the sight of God. And we give you praise that you are indeed living, resurrected from the dead. That in Christ Jesus we are made alive, new creatures, new creation, looking forward to the eternal life. And Father, this prayer, our praises, our confession, we offer by the gift of the Spirit you have poured out upon us, in us. We pray, Father, that we might indeed be filled more and more with the gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit. We pray that by the Spirit that we might confess you as our God and Father, and that we might live as children of God. Sanctify us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Make us more like God, more like Christ. Help us to love one another, even as God the Father has loved us so richly in Christ Jesus, we pray. And we ask, Almighty God, that through our testimony of word and also through our lives, many others would be drawn into the family of God, whether Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses, agnostics, or people who just don't care about God. Draw them in, we pray, Almighty God. May they know you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, one Savior. Amen.